Hi, welcome to Shelf Public Podcast. I'm Greg Nolik, and this is my guest star today, Caleb Coates.
Hi, nice to be here.
And today we're going to be talking about poetry versus prose. For those of you who don't know, I took the stance in poetry and Caleb prose, so we're going to begin our discussion.
Okay, so what's your experience with poetry? Like, what is poetry to you, Greg? And how does it stand out from prose?
Well, I think that the standard definition of poetry is really the use of metaphor, simile, personification.
So literary devices.
Yeah, it's the use of these literary devices or figurative language to create something that people interpret, essentially.
Wait, but can people in prose do that as well?
But you can do it within the plot. It's not so much the words you interpret in prose, it's more of the plot. And I think poetry is structured in a way.
So, like, where you find the double meaning in the words in poetry, you find the double meaning in the plot.
Yeah.
In prose.
Yeah, exactly. And, One difference I did find between the two is that poetry, unlike prose, can really play with it, like the extended metaphor, kind of like what Ginsberg does in his poem Howl. It's just this like 10-page metaphor. Okay. I mean, it's extremely extended. And Shakespeare, he was called the master of metaphors, and just absolutely fascinating because you can extend that metaphor for so long in a poem. But in
leaves things dragging on. The audience doesn't want to be involved in it as much.
Exactly, and I think and prose is very restrictive, from what I've experienced. It's just paragraphs, these blocks, these paragraphs, kind of giving you the image
there's more
of what
of a
it
structure.
Looks like. Yeah, and with poetry, there's more of a there's more of a freedom to do what you want, whether it is iambic pentameter or even just free verse. I think there's definitely a fascinating way of building structure with poetry, unlike what you can do with prose.
Yeah, there's so much more creative energy that you can put into poetry than you can prose, because with prose, generally, you're having a much extended storyline, whether it's historical or non-fiction, or fiction, I'm sorry about that, and I don't know, it's more structured, you have to follow certain rules in prose.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we were talking about earlier with Jack Kerouac, which I thought was always humorous, is I was reading his novel, The Subterraneans, which is probably 100 pages at most.
Yeah.
And there was one paragraph that went on for, or one sentence almost, that went on for 3 pages.
Yeah.
There's 3 pages. So I think there's definitely, in historical context, there's a definitely break, or there can be, if we're referring to something like the Beat Generation.
And I think, yeah, especially in the Beat Generation, it all comes down to artistic ability, and because with the Beat Generation, like Kerouac and Dean and Ginsberg, they were born poets, and then when they wrote prose, you know, it broke more of those prose structures and more of those prose boundaries.
Yeah. So I think one of the most interesting things that that prose can offer is that, unlike poetry, you can create this whole, like, the guy who wrote Crime and Punishment, he wrote this 600-page novel.
Yeah.
And you can really develop a plot that way. With poetry, it's limited to how long it can be.
Yeah, it's like shorthand.
Yeah.
Like, you can get away with writing sort of like an extended poetry, a poem, but anything more than, like 7 or 8 pages, you know, someone's going to, like, the audience is going to get bored. Wherein, as prose, you can write 600-700-page book, and you won't know the difference.
Yeah. It's also interesting to see, pertaining to historical context, that it's like, ancient Greek writings. I think we were talking about this before the show, that it's amazing how it actually started as, like, this poetic form.
Right, because it was all in depth with language. People needed something to write out their language, and what they spoke and how they communicated was so much more shorthand than prose. So they started writing down the stories that they were passing on, and then that turned into what we know as poetry. And then prose sort of branched it off on that because their need to scribe, like, scientific things, and they needed more definitions and more words, and they needed more structures. And then I believe that prose sort of branched off from them.
It's extremely so would it be fair to say that poetry is actually superior to prose, or that prose developed from poetry?
I believe that prose did develop from poetry.
But do you believe it's superior?
I don't think it's superior. I think any form of literature, no matter what it is, whether it is poetry or prose, I think has significant impact on our social lives and our society as a whole.
So, now that we've discussed the differences between prose and poetry and the historical context, let's talk about some of the similarities, which I think we sort of mentioned throughout this conversation, but...
Yeah, I think as time went on, I think nonfiction sort of started blending in with fiction, and then so prose started looking more like poetry, especially in contemporary work. Like, a lot of fiction, yeah, shares similarities. Like, people feel more freely to create in fictional stories, like we have felt with poetry. Whereas the nonfiction parts of prose are just sticking with events that happened, historical context. Yeah, more of the objective world. Which Northrop Frye does discuss that in an Educated Imagination. He talks about the certain levels of the subconscious and how those reflect where certain parts of literature impact our society. Okay, so now, I ranted for a little bit, but, like, what do you think about it all? Like, what do you think are the major similarities?
Well, I don't know where I heard this quote, but I think it was, somebody who actually wrote a quote, and he just says, well, poetry can be prose just as much as prose can be poetry, and I think to say that is a huge leap. You have to have some division, but with the... You can have poetic elements, certainly, in prose. And I think that's what makes literature literature. Yeah. So there's that, the poetic elements. And I think... But the way they use the elements is where you kind of have to draw that line.
Where you have that division. Because, yeah. I mean, to say that poetry and prose are the exact same, you know, that's putting a nihilistic twist to it, saying exactly. That everything is everything. And
yeah.
But we have those two different terms. But who knows, in the future, we might even have just one term to describe both of those under literature.
Yeah.
We won't have any, we'll just have maybe like shorthand versus whatever, and it won't be prose versus poetry anymore.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, poetry stays alive. I know in contemporary, it's almost...
Yeah.
Almost...
I mean, Northrop Frye describes the struggle pretty well.
Yeah, it's hard. It certainly is hard to be a poet in modern society.
So I guess if you do really want a definite connotation and definition to poetry versus prose, I would definitely pick up The Educated Imagination by Northrop Frye. There he describes the evolution of it very well. He describes it in a contemporary sense and in an ancient way.
All right. Well, thank you, Caleb, for being on the show with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah.